searching for a new basketball coach. A school official says Al Skinner and the school have agreed to part ways after 13 seasons. Skinner is the winningest coach in BC history with a 247-165 record and 7 NCAA tournament berths since 2001. Half the field for the women's Final Four has been set. Stanford slipped past Xavier 55-53 to earn a spot in this weekend's national semifinals in San Antonio and will be joined by a Baylor team that's knocked off Duke 51-48. The Chicago Bulls are one game out of the final playoff spot in the NBA Eastern Conference heading into tonight's home game with Phoenix. The Bulls are chasing Toronto, which gained a half game last night by beating Charlotte while the Bulls were idle. The slumping Chicago Blackhawks begin a three-game road trip tonight in St. Louis. The Hawks are trying to reverse their fortunes after back-to-back losses to last-place Columbus. They're 3-1 against the Blues this season. And Ozzie Guillen is going to tweet whether his boss likes it or not. The manager of the Chicago White Sox has made it clear he's not about to stop posting to his Twitter account. General manager Ken Williams earlier this spring indicated that he really didn't want Guillen to use another platform to speak his mind. Guillen says he won't offer any inside information on the White Sox, and he says as long as he respects his team, quote, I can do what I want. That's sports.
Hi, this is Masumi Rostad of the Pacifica String Quartet. Please join WILL 40 North, Krannert, and me for the new Docha Chamber Music Festival. We are playing at Radio Maria, Cakes on Walnut, and Jim Gould's in downtown Champaign, April 1st to 3rd. Docha will feature great music from some of our town's finest musicians, including Stefan Milenkovich, Dmitry Kuzov, Rudolf Hawken, and my group, the Pacifica Quartet. Admission is free. For more information, visit docha.org.
Government reform was the name of the game last year in Illinois after Governor Rod Blagojevich was removed from office. Democratic leaders tried to show that ethics topped their agenda. They passed a bunch of bills on the topic, including a controversial overhaul of campaign finance laws. Advocates for more sweeping changes reluctantly endorsed the plan and pledged to keep fighting. But as Sam Hudzik reports, the momentum is gone.
A coalition of business, community, and civic groups came together about a year ago to form Change Illinois. Their mission? Work to prevent future embarrassments to the state. For months, they fought for the granddaddy of all so-called reforms, limits on donations to political campaigns. And last fall, they found themselves in the room negotiating a final bill with Democratic leaders. George Raney is a Change Illinois co-chair.
We got, I would say, about 80% of what we were trying to achieve. That's a huge, huge proportion to start out with.
What Raney's group did not get was a limit on how much political parties and leaders could give candidates in general elections. All other direct donations would be limited except for those.
I do believe that the reform group has done a great job of selling out.
Senator Mike Jacobs was one of only a handful of Democratic lawmakers to oppose the compromise that Change Illinois agreed to. He argued the bill gives too much power to party leaders, an argument also made by the Chicago Tribune editorial board. It wrote that the reformers caved by agreeing to a meaningless compromise, a crock, the paper called the bill.
We were in a way victims of our own success by setting the sights so high for ourselves and others.
That's Raney again, speaking at a Change Illinois celebration this month at a downtown Chicago office building. There were drinks, finger foods.
I think the steak went very fast.
Lots of congratulations and a pep talk.
We need to understand also that we've got more to do.
Specifically on campaign donation limits for political parties. But it won't be easy, they admit, in part because of the singular focus at the moment on state budget problems. Cindy Canary leads the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, part of the coalition.
I think it's absolutely clear that leadership has no interest in opening up this discussion again at this point. That said, they had no interest in having this discussion at all last year.
And there are pending bills that would do what Canary wants, limit how much political parties can give candidates in general elections. But those bills have gotten zero traction in the legislature.
It's not really moving.
One of them is sponsored by Democratic Representative Karen May. She was on the House floor last week on her cell phone when I caught up with her.
Every everything goes to Rules Committee first, and then it's assigned to a substantive committee from there. So this bill was never assigned to a substantive committee.
May says she told House Speaker Mike Madigan that she was introducing the bill, and he told her he didn't agree with it.
I didn't push that strongly on it. I didn't, like, send him a formal letter and make a formal request.
The Republicans have pushed on this three times, trying to get a similar bill out of committee. And each time, May sided with her party and voted to keep the GOP bill stuck. Republican leader Tom Cross says May's refusal to push the point with Madigan shows why donation limits for political leaders are so necessary.
The speaker has funded their races and has helped them get to the General Assembly, and if they vote contrary to what the speaker wants, he wants his bill to stay in rules, then they've irritated the speaker.
This argument of party leader domination is dismissed by Madigan's spokesman, Steve Brown.
So that whole kind of misguided, inflated notion that legislative leaders, you know, bully people and threaten people with the campaign contributions, misguided, not well informed, not a lot of evidence to back it up.
So you're saying that doesn't happen ever?
I'm saying there's no record of it happening. It's a popular myth, but there's no evidence of it.
Brown says if the parties were subject to donation limits in the general election, special interests would bombard Democratic candidates with negative ads they wouldn't have the money to counteract. Just how these new rules for political cash will play out for voters is anything but clear. That's because none of the donation caps will affect this year's election. One more round of limit-free campaigns. I'm Sam Hudzik.
You're tuned to Illinois Public Media. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Well, here's something for area residents to look forward to in April. It's a month-long Champaign-Urbana Big Read celebration. From what I know about it at the moment, it looks like it will be a festival of literature and culture. People of all ages and walks of life are invited to take part. At the center of next month's Big Read is the book Sun, Stone, and Shadows, 20 Great Mexican Short Stories. Two guests join me in the studio this afternoon to tell us more about what's on tap for April's Big Read celebration. They are Emily Love and Scott Schwartz. Both are with the University of Illinois. Emily Love is Outreach Librarian for Multicultural Services at the U of I. Scott Schwartz is the Archivist for Music and Fine Arts at the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music at the University of Illinois. Welcome, both of you.
Hello, Celeste.
Hi, thank you.
It's good to have you, the two of you here. Well, tell us about the book that's at the center of the celebration, and I suppose for this question we should go to the librarian.
Well, as the title infers, it's 20 short stories by Mexican authors, and it focuses on stories from the first half of the 20th century, and the stories are a blend of culture, history, and that's... And they're quite enriching. I'll say that they're definitely dense and worthwhile of a good read, almost sort of similar to reading poetry.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Is there one in particular that you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, there was one story that stayed with me. It was essentially a story about a father who had committed a crime years ago, lived in exile, and basically asking his son to ask the governor for forgiveness. And I felt it was a really straightforward, poignant read.
Okay, very good. Well, Scott Schwartz, you're here with us in the studio, which means there will be music.
Always
as
music,
part
yes.
of the Big Read. What's on tap in that direction?
Well, we have some wonderful music that will be helping to help kick off the April 1st event at Sandunga, local musicians, a Latin, Caribbean, Mexican sounding or blend of music to kind of get us into the spirit of the event. And at the end, May 5th, the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts has a special Cinco de Mayo program with Ozomatli. another exciting group. So we're really closing and opening the event with music, and in between an awful lot of literature and art and photography. And we also have a performance on April 11th, Sanduga. So we actually get to hear them twice in 1 month. And if you haven't heard them, it's a great group of musicians, and they're all from here.
Oh, okay, interesting. Now, are these events open and free to the public?
All but the last one, the one at the Krannert Center, which is a ticketed event. Everything is free, and we have everything from readings to films to an exhibition. Emily can probably talk more about the readings. You want to take it?
Well, actually, I was just also going to add on that at the film Like Water for Chocolate, which will be aired at the Virginia Theater on the 8th, there will be an opportunity for selected guests as a lottery to win free tickets to the last performance on the 5th at Krannert.
Okay, so this is really a month-long event. Will there be opportunities for people to come together in groups and talk about the stories that are in Sunstone and Shadows?
Yes. There are, first of all, there's a reading group at the Urbana Free Library, and there are a number of programs at the public schools, the high schools, that are participating in group reads. And for book clubs that are interested in obtaining a series or a set of books, they can either go to the Champaign Public Library and ask for one of the book kits, or they can email me directly at elove, not eharmony, at at illinois.edu, and I can provide them with a book set for their book club.
Yeah. Who wants to tell me about the photo exhibition that's part of this celebration? It sounds really interesting.
It is. Life in a Border Town is about young people, fifth graders, from a small primary school in Reynosa, Mexico, right across the border from McAllen, Texas. And the two curators, who you will be meeting later, had an idea, you know, how do they view life in a border town? I mean, basically a child's perspective. They gave them photographic training and said, go out and take pictures of your community, the community as the outsider sees it, and more importantly, how you see it. So you get a very intimate perspective of the children's life in school, out school, in home, in town. And it's a delight because it is an expression of children's photographic interests, and we have selected 25 out of the total 50 images, and we brought them up from McAllen, Texas, to show at the Alumni Center throughout the month. But we also have a PowerPoint presentation run continuously with all 200 images, the two sets of groups of photographs that were selected from, so that you get a continual taste of the children's perspectives on life in a border community.
So this is really a community-wide celebration. I would imagine that there are other opportunities to get our community's children involved. You mentioned the high schools, but I would think that for elementary and middle school children, there's a lot here as well.
Yeah, actually, one thing that Scott mentioned about the exhibit, we're partnering with Booker T. Washington School, and their bilingual class is taking part in a similar photo exhibition where they're taking pictures of their lives in a Midwest town, and they'll be exhibiting sort of the best 25 of pictures from that class on the Cinco de Mayo at their school. And also there are a number of programs for children. There's a bilingual story time at the Urbana Free Library. And there will also be an edible books contest. It's a festival in the community, and we're partnering with them to do a Taste of Mexico category. And there is a children's version of this festival, which will also be at the Urbana Free Library.
Okay. We're running down on time, and as this Big Read celebration kicks off April 1st, which mm-hmm. is just right around the corner. Maybe what we should do to wrap up here is to talk about those first two events a little bit more in so listeners have an idea of what they might want to build into their schedule this week. So we've got the kickoff on April 1st. Tell us again, Scott, where that is and what time that gets underway.
That's at the Alice Campbell Alumni Center on campus. It's from 6 to 8, and we'll be showing the photographs, meeting the curators. We're going to do a reading from the book, both in English and Spanish, and basically entice everybody to eat some of the foods that we think of from the culture and listen to the music. So think of it as immersing yourself in the spirit of the book and the culture.
Okay. And then April 7th, which is right around the corner as well, that's the first feature film presentation of the Big Read Celebration, El Norte.
Yeah, that will be screened at the University Library in room 66. Don't be afraid to ask where that is. It's somewhat difficult to find. It's a wonderful film. And yeah, it is the first of three, the second one being on the 8th. And the third one being at the Champaign Public Library the following week on the 15th.
And one other event I want to talk about, I want to mention, is that the writer Luis Urrea will come to town to deliver the keynote address on April 18th. Can you tell us a little bit about what he might talk about?
He's written some groundbreaking books, and I can just say that I know that he spoke at the Public Library Association conference last week, and the event was sold out, and people left with tears in their eyes, and it's supposed to be a moving talk, so we're really looking forward to him coming up.
Okay. And if people want more information, a rundown of the events free and open to the public, where can they get the full story?
Well, probably the easiest place would just to type into your web browser bigreadillinois.org, and that will take you right to our site and just one quick swipe, and it'll give you a full schedule of events.
Okay.
Very easy to get to.
All right. And we'll put a link to that on our website
thank
for the
you.
Afternoon magazine. Scott Schwartz, Emily Love, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Earth and Sky.
Barry Barish wants to build the largest science instrument in history to aid in his search for dark matter. Barish, a physicist at the California Institute of Technology, explained that dark matter is a unique kind of matter, stuff believed to make up a significant portion of the universe.
25% of the universe is made up of dark matter, while the things like us make up 1% or less.
The trouble is, dark matter has never been directly observed with a telescope or any other device. To see dark matter, said Dr. Barish, scientists will have to build the world's biggest particle accelerator. Barish is leading the effort to design this instrument called the International Linear Collider.
It's a machine that will collide electrons and positrons.
These charged particles will slam into each other inside a tunnel 30 kilometers or about 19 miles long. Dr. Barish said that this is what's needed to create the right test conditions to observe dark matter. He added that the International Linear Collider is still in the planning stages, and he thinks it might be 2025 before it's built. If we can finally see dark matter, Barish added,
we'll have a new way to look at the universe, really, that involves a whole set of elements, particles that we don't really have on our shelf yet.
More interviews with scientists at our website. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Today's programs are made possible in part by 10,000 villages in downtown Champaign, celebrating their 25th year of fair trade retail in downtown Champaign. 10,000 villages offers ground and whole bean coffee purchased from farmers using internationally recognized fair trade standards.
1 minute before 3 o'clock. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana. You'll find us online at will.illinois.edu. This afternoon's forecast for Illinois and Indiana, mostly sunny, highs generally ranging from 58 in northeastern Indiana to 70 in west central Illinois.